What is a Christian? Anyone having thoughts about becoming God's child and living so as to please God has at one time or another asked himself or herself this question. And it's very important for us to know because this is the only way that we can live as one. Obviously, you can't live as a Christian if you don't know what a Christian is. So do you know? Most of us here tonight have no difficulty at all in understanding how one becomes a Christian because most of us have learned and obeyed the way revealed by the Scriptures, belief, repentance, confession of Jesus, and being baptized. We heard, we were convinced that the New Testament's God's truth, that we were sinners unable to cleanse ourselves from our transgressions, who needed the blood of Jesus Christ to wash us clean. And then we did what the gospel told us, just as those written of in the New Testament did when they became Christians. But knowing how to become a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that one understands what he has become, or rather, what he is to be, what he or she should be. By way of illustration, most of us understand basically how to become president of the United States. We would campaign for some political party's nomination, and then if we won it, then we would campaign in the actual presidential election. We would be voted in, and then we would become president. But even though we know how to become president, would becoming president necessarily mean we'd know what the job entailed? Would we know what to do? Most of us, if elected president, be lost as a goose, even though we know how to become the president. Well, likewise, there's more to being a Christian than just knowing how to become one. As even as important and essential as it is to know and obey first principles, there's more. Many, I would suggest to you, have become Christians, but they really don't know what they're to be. Now, even the most ignorant new convert knows that we don't obey the gospel and then just are turned loose to live and be as we want to. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved, taught in the New Testament. But what is to identify us or mark our lives as Christians? There's not any question that the greatest teacher this world has ever seen was Jesus. He was unique beyond comparison with any other before or since. And in fact, in John 7:46, the officers sent by the Jews to apprehend Jesus returned empty-handed and said of him, "Never man spoke like this man." And one of the reasons that he was such a great teacher is the fact that he used terms and illustrations that people could understand if they gave his words proper attention. And this being true, no one could teach us any better what a Christian should be than him. No illustration of what it is to be a Christian any better than the one he provides to us. So, Jesus, what is a Christian? In the 19th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 and 14. "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, 'Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.'" Did you get what he said? Do you see what a Christian is? He's like a little child. Jesus used children here to illustrate purity and innocence of those who would come to him or make up his kingdom or church. And from this illustration, we see that a young child and a Christian actually have many things in common with each other. Characteristics that help us achieve our goal of understanding what a Christian is. For one thing, a little child is humble. He's not self-exalting, not wanting to be thought of as better than everybody else. You ever just watch a little child? He doesn't care who he plays with. Doesn't really matter what color someone's skin is. Doesn't matter if the playmate's a rich man's son or the son of the poorest person in town. Doesn't matter whether he's dressed in bright new clothes or rags. Doesn't matter if the playmate's a close personal friend or if he's never seen him before. What matters is he sees somebody here to play with. And so he plays. And he enjoys this other child's company without having to be better than his playmate is. Have you ever known a little child to choose who he will love or won't love? No, not a little child. Love given is received and returned without consideration for who it comes from or how popular that person may be or how rich or how famous or how good looking. Show a child a little love and that child will love you. And this childlike quality is what God wants to see in us, His children. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 4 tell us, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Romans 12, verse 3, we're told this, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This attitude is demonstrated by the woman of Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, as the account says. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it is not proper, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now this woman, after Jesus said what he did to her, could have indignantly replied to him, look, I'm as good as any Jew. And I'm better than most. I want my fair share. I want my rights. I want you to take care of my daughter. But she didn't say anything like that. Instead, she compared herself to a dog that ate the scraps from the master's table. She was willing to receive the leftovers. She was humble. In view of this lesson, can a Christian then be one who thinks that he's better than everybody else? Can he be self-righteous? Seem to be more important? Seem to be more entitled to what he wants than what others might need? No. Jesus said he's to be as a little child. He's to be loving. He's to be respectful. He is to be humble, not self-righteous, not conceited. Are we like that? Are we truly humble? A little child grows. He doesn't remain a baby all his life, but he grows from infancy into adolescence and then finally into a mature adult. And this is the growth pattern, or in this growth rather, we see a pattern of development that God expects to see in us as Christians. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tells us this, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. How do we begin as Christians? We begin as babes, don't we? We feed on the simple and basic truths of God's Word. But as a child progresses from milk to baby food to normal table fare to meet his body's need to grow, so the babe in Christ is expected to grow from just taking in the simple truths to the meat of God's Word. The more complex truths that require a foundation in basics for understanding. But what if he doesn't feed on the Word? What if he doesn't grow spiritually from a babe to spiritual maturity? What if he's been a member for years and yet actually knows very little now than he did when he first obeyed the gospel? And something's wrong. He's not as a child. Like a child who doesn't grow physically has a serious problem, so the child of God who doesn't grow spiritually in knowledge and love has something very seriously wrong with him. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the writer speaks to some who had this problem, and he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And notice what he says here. You people ought to be teachers. You should have grown to full age or maturity by now so that you can pass on God's Word. It's not normal for you to stay as you are, as a babe, and not grow. So consider why it was that those in Hebrews 5 had not grown, had not progressed. Verse 11. "Of whom, speaking of Jesus, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." There were many things about Jesus, the writer, and the others wanted to teach these people, but they couldn't because they couldn't understand, and they couldn't understand because they would not hear with a view to learning anything. That's why they needed the basics taught to them again. They just wouldn't hear. Notice then that their continuing in spiritual maturity without growing was their own fault. It wasn't because they didn't have good teachers. It wasn't because they hadn't had access to the Word of God. It was not because they were incapable of studying and learning and growing in the faith, but because they just simply would not pay attention to the Word. Made little or no effort to study and learn. And that's the reason so many children of God today are still babes, even after many, many years as members of the Lord's church. Still babes when they ought to be mature in the faith. Ought to be teachers of men. A God-pleasing Christian is one who, like a little child, grows because his desire for God's Word is as strong as an infant's desire for physical food. Consequently, he not only doesn't miss any feeding times, but he's always there learning and feeding himself by regular Bible study. And his growth is seen in the fact of his self-sufficiency, his maturity, his ability to reason in the Scriptures, his ability to interact with others and to be the kind of Christian that his brethren look up to and seek his advice, follow his example as he follows Christ. People see by his life that he's all grown up now. He is sober-minded in his zeal for the Lord and his resistance for sin. He's grown up. This is what a Christian is. A young child is anxious to please his parents. And so he loves and he trusts and he obeys them. Now sometimes he has cranky moods and he misbehaves, but even so he still looks to his parents as his lawgiver, literally putting his life in their hands, living his life according to their direction, trusting what they say to be the best for him to do. And I suggest to you the same attitude of respect, surrender of self, and trusting obedience characterizes the true Christian as he recognizes and looks to his heavenly Father. Romans 8, verses 15 through 17 tell us, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Certainly this perception of the Father's identity and power and authority produces in us as His children the attitude given voice to by Peter and the other apostles in Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than men. Even more so, the Christian's obedience to God demonstrates his true and genuine love in his heart, and wanting to please God. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You know why they're not grievous? Because obeying our Father, it's a labor of love. Just like a young child follows his earthly parents because he loves them. These things being true, then, what of a person who's believed, repented of sins, confessed Jesus, been baptized, but who resents having to follow after God's commands of the New Testament as his guide in life? He tries to sneak around and do something that he knows is not according to God's will, or is always looking for an easier way. And listen to those who advocate compromises of God's will rather than standing firmly in the truth. Or one who just absolutely stubbornly refuses to respect some particular teaching of God's Word that he doesn't want to accept. These things don't characterize an innocent child, do they? Instead, they bring more to mind a juvenile delinquent, a rebel. But I'll tell you something else that they don't characterize: a true Christian. 2 John 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Children also generally have a strong desire to imitate their parents. Now, invariably, in his love and adoration, a young boy will take on many of his father's mannerisms. We'll see this in the way that he talks, or the way that he walks, or his interests, or his hobbies and such, because that young child wants to be as much like his father as he can be. And that's what a Christian does. Christian wants to be like his heavenly Father. And he listens well to the exhortations of Titus 2, 11 and 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. 2 Peter 3:11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or behavior and godliness?" What Christian could be content to do otherwise than imitate the Father in heaven? How does one justify openly rebelling against God's will and going back into sin, and then act like nothing's wrong? Act like he's just as faithful a Christian as anybody in the world could be. Why do you suppose that is? Well, for one thing, such a person's devious. Not like a little child, he hides what he does wrong. And he has no fear of anybody finding out about it. But he's forgotten two things. First of all, God sees everything that we do. His Father sees what He's doing. And secondly, he's not imitating his father in any way, shape, or form, because God hates sin. So how can a person be a Christian? How can one be a little child and be so remarkably different from the one he claims to be his father in heaven? Something else about a little child is that he loves his family. And you know what? He loves every single one of them. I've never seen a child who wasn't proud to introduce you to his brother or his sister. Now, they may have been fighting like dogs and cats a minute before, but you come up and you want to meet them, and they're just as proud as they can be to say, "This is my brother. This is my sister." And like this child, a Christian's brothers and sisters are absolutely the dearest people on earth to him. Consequently, he loves to be with them. And isn't ashamed to introduce them to worldly people or to his relatives as his brothers or sister in Christ. He doesn't lie to them, doesn't try to take unfair advantage of them, doesn't say bad things about them. They're closer to him than flesh and blood could ever be. He loves them dearly, and his attitude toward them shows it. Some of you were not raised up in the church. Some of you, the majority of your relatives, are not members of the church. That certainly was my case. I was the only one in my family. And you know what has happened over the years? I've grown closer to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, than I've ever been with my flesh and blood family. Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. No, it's not. Because you and I have much more in common than my flesh and blood family and I do. You and I share the same goal of going to heaven. You and I are trying to help each other get there. You and I are not trying to justify one another to sin. When I have difficulty, you are there to pick me up. When you have difficulty, I hope I'm there for you. I try to be. You know what that is? That's family. And that's why when we come into this assembly, you see everybody speaking to everybody else. You see everybody having a smile for everybody else. You see a genuine gladness for the members of this congregation of seeing one another. That's what family's all about. Oh, there may be some members here that we have disagreements with from time to time. There may be some members here that we may not agree with at all on some things. But nevertheless, just like a little child loves his brothers and sisters unconditionally, so do we if we're Christians. If we are Christians. Because you see, the Christian worries about his brothers and sisters in Christ. He laughs with them. He cries with them. He prays for them. Tries to help them when they're in error and in need. And as 1 John 4:21 says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also." That's a Christian. One who truly loves and cares for his brother and sister in Christ. When confronted with some disobedience, a young child is tearfully ready to confess. He just can't stand the fact that mom and dad know what he's done and that he's hurt them by disobeying them. Neither can the Christian just ignore his offense to God He can't keep it inside. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like mom and dad understand, so God understands. He's ready to forgive. We may bear the consequences of our sin, but He's ready to forgive us because that's what a father does. And a child knows that deep down inside. And he just can't stand having that offense between himself and his father or his parents. As we close in, let's consider one more thing. Nothing is as dear or more precious to a parent than his child, his son, his daughter. They're not always perfect, but they're full of that innocent, sweet love that every single parent knows so very well about his children. And I suppose that's why a young child is so good an illustration of what a Christian is and why Jesus made that comparison in the first place for us. Not only innocent as his past sins were forgiven when he obeyed the gospel, also because as a little child, a true Christian is humble and loving, he's growing, he's obedient, he wants to imitate his father, he loves his family, he has a tender heart so that he must confess and make things right when he falls short. And you know what else he is? He's forgiving. He doesn't know how not to forgive. You ever watch children playing and they have a disagreement? Might take a swat at one another. Might even get into a little fight. But you leave them alone. And in 5 minutes, what are they doing again? They're playing like nothing happened. They don't know how to bear a grudge. And they don't worry about who was right and who was wrong. They just forgive one another. And they start back playing together, completely forgetting the cause of offense. What am I supposed to be like after I obey the gospel and become a Christian? Well, now you know. And every time you see a sweet, young, innocent child, you're reminded of what it is that God expects to see in you as a Christian. I don't know how better what we ought to be can be illustrated than that. Whole thing is attitude, isn't it? Proper attitude is going to make us grow into being what we ought to be and love one another as we should. And what better illustration of that is there than a young child? How are you tonight? Are you like a little child? Are you a Christian, truly, as illustrated by the little child? I hope so. But if you aren't, you can remedy that. You can realize your shortcomings. You can realize where you've fallen. Maybe you've thought a little too much of yourself. Whatever it may be, you can repent of that and you can pray to God for forgiveness. And you know what? Like your earthly father when you misbehaved, so your heavenly father will forgive you. All it takes is giving yourself and surrender to him. Want to be saved from your alien sins? You want to become a child of God? Well, it's not an exclusive club in that only a few can join. Anybody can become a child of God by believing, repenting, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. as an accountable human being, you can be forgiven of your sins and become as a little child. Whatever your need, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing to encourage you.